Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come on. Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Thursday, boys and girls. I've got one question and one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It's Valentine's Day, everybody. Remember to think of your significant other today. Do something nice for them. Pick up some flowers or chocolates or cook dinner or go out to dinner or watch a movie together. Say I love you. Buy a little card. Small things can be big things. Right, Matt Kuchar? Coming up this hour on the show, the Alliance is off and running. Successful first week. We'll talk to CEO and co-founder Charlie Ebersol about it coming up here in hour number three. So that'll be in about 17 minutes from now. Jay Glazer makes a bold prediction saying that Odell Beckham, his bold prediction is that Odell Beckham is going to be traded this offseason. Glazer wrote in his mailbag for The Athletic, quote, I think that's bold enough. I would say that's bold. I would also say I don't believe it. I would also say that's not going to happen. Now, Jay Glazer has amazing sources. He's as well connected as anybody. He's connected to the Giants organization. Glazer's really good at this stuff. But I don't buy it. Not for a second. Number one, contractually speaking, it hurts the Giants to trade him now at this point in his deal. Number two, the Giants are going to start with Eli Manning this year, draft a quarterback, and I think hand over the reins sometime mid-season to that quarterback. My guessing is that it's Dwayne Haskins, Ohio State. I don't think they want to go into the season transitioning quarterback-wise and not have one of the most skilled pass catchers in league history on that roster to help out both quarterbacks. But also number three, the Giants have been so hesitant, so scared, so worried about the fan base turning on them that they've been unable to totally cut bait and transition on from Eli Manning. They have heard of the outcry. They saw the debacle with Ben McAdoo benching him for Geno Smith. And they know that Eli is a hero. They know that Eli is beloved. And even though all of the football tells them that he is not the right guy anymore for the job, the Giants just can't do it. They can't quit Eli. And it's because they don't want 75,000 PSL and season ticket holders to turn on them. Because they've had it good for a long time. Giants fans have showed up for a long time. Giants fans banged out Giant Stadium. And they bought up all the PSLs and season tickets for MetLife Stadium. And the Giants fans have been rewarded with four Super Bowls since 1986. And they don't want to bite the hand that feeds them. Giants ownership likes being considered the Yankees of football. Even though they're not nearly as successful, the Mara family, the Tisch family, they like that. They don't like to be a punchline. They don't like to be a laughingstock, and they certainly don't like for their fans to turn on them. And the fans have started to do so because the football's been bad and the coaching's been bad and Eli's been bad and the whole thing's been bad. And they don't want to do it anymore. And so they're not going to trade their lone ticket, one of their lone ticket buying reasons to show up. They got Saquon. He's a good reason. They got Odell. He's a good reason. They're not in the business of upsetting their season ticket holders and all those people that pay really expensive New York-type money for luxury suites, PSLs, and season tickets. And if you go out to a Giants game, what you've seen over the last 3 to 4 years is a lot of empty seats. They notice it. They ain't doing it. They're not trading Odell Beckham. Not happening. Not this offseason. Look, if they get bowled over with two number ones because somebody desperately thinks that they're Odell away from winning a Super Bowl, then yes, okay, fine. Anything's possible. But are they going to shop Odell? No way. And they're certainly not going to sell him on the cheap. It ain't happening. Mraz, as a Giants fan, do you want to see Odell Beckham traded?
No. When you're in a rebuild, the best way to rebuild is to acquire young superstar talent to get you there. And that's exactly what he is. That's exactly what you need to become a contender.
The problem is that he's going to hate the quarterback situation this year.
But he already does hate.
I agree. But he's going to start with Eli Manning. Eli's only going to be worse. And then he's going to transition to a rookie quarterback at some point in time, probably. And that's not going to be pretty either. So Odell's going to be unhappy the entire season.
Well, if he's going to sit next to Lil Wayne and talk to Jacine Anderson and not back the quarterback position when they draft one in the first round, he can't be unhappy. He just can't. You're not sane then.
They're not trading Odell this offseason.
No, they're not. First of all, they'd have to eat $4 million on the cap this year, and then in 2020 it would cost them $12 million in dead cap money. Why would they do that? Also, why would you trade him in the same offseason Antonio Brown could be traded? That would only hurt his value, because then there's more fish in the pond, supply-demand.
855-212-4CBS, Twitter, DA on CBS. Dixieland Dan tweets, guys, of all the topics you have discussed, this is the one that stirs people. I've heard more callers on a golf question than we heard on the mothership for the last two Super Bowls combined. It's amazing what jumps the ship and goes crazy across the airwaves. The Matt Kuchar story, people can't get enough of. Can't get enough of. Brett tweets, there is no way the same guy who complained about Betty White on national radio is simply, quote, grumbling to his friends about being paid $115,000 less than expected. No freaking way.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
All right, to reset here, Matt Kuchar wins on the PGA Tour event in Mexico last month. His full-time caddy didn't make the trip, so he uses a part-time caddy, a fill-in caddy, who was part of the club. That part-time caddy or fill-in caddy is named El Toucan, David Ortiz. Different David Ortiz. They agree before the tournament that he would pay him $4,000 for a top 10 finish and an extra $1,000 as a nice little bonus. So $5,000. The problem is that the unspoken handshake agreement around the PGA Tour is a caddy gets 10% of the win if you win. That means with a $1.2 million win, El Toucan deserved, under normal circumstances, $120,000. Kuchar paid him $5,000. Then, once this got out, because apparently El Toucan emailed Kuchar's agent, somebody found out about it. El Toucan didn't go public with it, but then a former member of the tour tweeted about it, saying this is ridiculous, this is unfair to El Toucan. Now the golf world is abuzz about what Kuchar should do, and Kuchar's reps came back and said, hey, we'll throw you another $15,000 to make it $20,000. Again, this is still, he should have made $120,000, a sixth, if he accepted it, of what he should have earned under normal circumstances, he said, thanks, but no thanks. I'm not interested. In my mind, Kuchar's in the wrong here. We've had callers and listeners and Mraz defend Kuchar here saying, hey, handshake agreement. But frankly, I think that's ridiculous. The right thing is clearly not $5,000. Clearly. The right thing, obviously, was more than 20. That's why they circled back and got to another 15. The right thing to do off the bat was understanding the $5,000 was totally a shakedown. Miguel tweets, I didn't want to go here, but Kuchar's move reeks of, oh, 5K is a lot of money down there type of elitist thinking. Agreed. Landon tweets, circumstances like these show who people really are. We get it, man. You agreed on a terrible agreement with someone who to 5K is a lot of money. So that's how you justify it. How about you use this as an opportunity to change someone's life by doing what's right? That is right. Be the better person. Joe tweets, you guys have spent way too much time on this Kuchar story. It needs to be March Madness stat. The basketball one, not the Torg Bellinger one.
Yep. What? My brother Billy.
855-212-4CBS. Sebastian's in Abilene, Texas, 98.1. Listen to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, DA. Can I get a beam up?
You know, buddy. What's up?
Hi. Yeah, right to the point. People who finish outside the top 10 in the PGA Tour usually pay their caddies 5%. That's the average outside top 10. From place 10 to 9, it's about 7 to 8%, and the win obviously is 10% to the caddy. If Kuchar would have done the right thing and paid him 10, 120K, even if he did the bare minimum at 5, which would be 60K, that's still just disrespectful to give him $5,000 because that's 55K short of just the 5%.
No doubt. Even if it's half of what $120,000 would be, that still gets you to 60. He gave him 5. RD's next up in Texas, listening to 98.1 to CBS Sports Radio and calling up our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com, 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Good morning, RD.
Good morning, DA. How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing, buddy?
Man, I was doing real good till I heard this story. Mm-hmm. First of all, I didn't get into golf till about my early 20s because of Tiger Woods. But this story right here has me really pissed off for a couple reasons. Number one, the guy didn't do the right thing, period. End of statement. I don't care what any other caller says trying to defend Matt Kuchar. I lost all respect for Matt Kuchar. And on the second, the second point I was going to make, this leads me to believe that Kuchar is the same guy who will go take a vacation in Mexico because it's a cheaper vacation, more affordable, but also will go down there and not tip the employees at the resort and treats them as if they owe him something, as if he's royalty because he's there. You know what? When you go down there to Mexico, yes, it's an affordable vacation. I've been several times myself. I tip everyone. Waiter, the wait staff, poolside help, the people who's cleaning my room. But you know what? This situation right here, this guy's lucky that he didn't come home in a cartel box.
Well, I don't want to make any assumptions like that. But look, Matt Kuchar has made $46 million over the course of his career and just pursed another $1.2 million. And he slips the guy $5,000. That ain't right. On any level, it's just not right. Adam tweets, then why did the caddy agree to $4,000? He signed a deal. After he does that, his expectation is getting the amount he signed for. That's how the adult world works. And then he was later offered more than that amount, which is on par with, if not more, than a local would usually get. The guy won $1.2 million. Giving him $4,000 or $5,000 is spitting in his face. Come on, we all know that. That's just wrong. Adult world or not, it's wrong. Kuchar's terrible in this spot. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, CEO and co-founder of the Alliance, Charlie Ebersol, on a successful week one and what will make a successful week two. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Good value. Big upside.
DA, first of all, let me just say, you're my absolute favorite show. I listen to them all, but you're the absolute best, my friend.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
22 minutes past the hour. Thanks for being with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Happy Valentine's Day. Remember your loved ones today and tonight. The Alliance of American Football debuted last week and I would say very positive results, feedback, television ratings. Joining us here on the show is CEO and co-founder of the league, Charlie Ebersol. Charlie, good morning.
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm great. How you doing?
Very well. We're a very happy group this week.
I would think so. Like I said, very good returns from a lot of different areas. What were you most pleased by after week one?
The digital engagement was really remarkable. The quality of football was way beyond what I had expected. And what I'd said really for the last year in public was, if Bill Polian delivered on the football, the rest of the business had a real shot. And he did. The quality of football was spectacular. And because of it, we had millions of users on our app and our website. We had incredible social engagement. So we think we're building on something special. It's a long marathon to get to being alive and successful, but we feel pretty good right now.
I thought, just as you said, the football outkicked my expectations, pardon the pun. The ratings outkicked my expectations as well. I thought the product looked good, looked organized. The one thing I thought that there would be better attendance, what did you think? Were you disappointed by that part of it?
No, attendance was way above where we thought it was going to be. Here's the thing. Keep in mind that these teams didn't exist 10 days ago, and yet you had almost 30,000 people show up in San Antonio, for example. Our long-term goal with attendance is that it'll build over the next couple of years, but our expectations were all met and exceeded with all of our metrics. I was in San Antonio opening night, and there was something like a 45-minute wait for merchandise. And this is, again, for a team that did not exist. So we took an approach building this model this year that was different than what everyone had ever done before. We focused on quality football, and we believed that word of mouth would ultimately carry us there. And so we didn't spend the tens of millions of dollars marketing it the way my dad and Vince did 15 years ago. And we didn't focus on salacious or gimmicky stunts to get people in the stadium. We just said, look, we're going to put good football there. And if you actually look at the attendance from Saturday to Sunday and the digital engagement, it went up. So we're trending in the right direction. But look, I told everyone in March, they said, what are you going to say about the ratings afterwards? I said, no matter what the ratings are, good or bad, it won't affect the long-term business model. No matter what the attendance is opening night, it won't affect it. If we had had 60,000 people, we would have the same reaction as we do right now.
Charlie Ebersol is our guest this morning here on the DA show. Was there anything that was a concern to you, or was everything sunshine, lollipops, you're loving it going into week two?
No, are you kidding? I'm a perfectionist. I have a list. My team got about an hour to celebrate the success of the league, and then they got 15 pages of notes. My primary concern always is that you get complacent. You know, this is a game. I don't mean the game of football, but I mean the entertainment business is a game of what have you done for me lately? And so a lot of what we focused on were, what were the shortcomings? We were thrilled that people liked, you know, use of the Sky Judge and the use of the replay official being on camera, but at the same time, obviously, there were miking issues where, you know, curse words got through, et cetera. And so we're always looking at how we can improve the product. I think the football did a nice job of improving itself over the course of the games, but certainly we're happy with where the football started, but that's not where we want to be. We want to be much better than that.
Yeah, you just don't need to mic up Christian Hackenberg anymore. That's basically priority number one, right?
I think we need to make sure that when we're asking players to leave it all on the field, that we buy them a couple extra seconds in the video audio mix so that should they express themselves, we can protect them from themselves.
You know how other spring football leagues have failed. The XFL, the USFL, going all the way back to the World League in the 70s, then the World League of American Football in the 90s, early 2000s, NFL Europe. How will you make sure to avoid those pitfalls?
Well, I think we avoided the biggest one, which is quality football. I mean, each one of those has a unique reason why it failed. I mean, the NFL Europe had pretty good football, but they were in Europe, and they had a lot of trouble with traction around the game. But quality of football was there. Had the NFL Europe been in the United States, I think it'd still be around. One of the things that I really have tried to convey to my team, to my investors, to my partners, is slow and steady wins the race. All of the other businesses tried to just come out of the gate and do it. If you've read any business plan by anyone over the last 15 years about launching a new football league, every single one of them starts with, college football gets 80,000 people a game, so we'll get at least 65,000 people a game, and because of that, we only have to raise $5. And that's where these businesses fall down. You forget, you know, the University of Alabama, the University of Notre Dame has been around for 130 years. It's built a multi-million person following, generational following. It's a very different experience than, hey, show up at the Alamo Dome at 7 o'clock at night to see the San Antonio Commanders, who you've never seen play before, play, no matter how cheap the ticket is. And I think that's where, think about what it means for 30,000 people to give you 2.5 or 3 hours of their time on a product they have no idea. It's like launching a movie.
I wrote a piece this week for CBSSports.com, and the two biggest things I loved about the league, and granted, I'm a football junkie, and I was a young USFL fan, and I was a World League of American Football fan, so I've always been entranced by the idea of spring football, but I thought two things stood out. Pace of play was great. We could whip through games in 2.5 hours, short commercial breaks, and then also allowing guys to hit the quarterback and not always cringing that the flag is coming. And that was the play by Sean Washington on Berkovici that went viral most from the league last weekend. And I said, these two things are almost therapeutic in modern football because we can't hit the quarterback and the games become 3.5 hour slogs in both college and the NFL. Will those two things remain part of your league throughout this season?
Well, we've said since the very, very first day we were public about this league that the pace of play was crucial. You had to have a game that felt like it had momentum and it was moving through. And I think we took a lot of criticism before we kicked off, or not kicked off, snapped, about not having a kickoff. Oh, how do you do that? Football's going to look strange, et cetera. And I got to be honest, I don't know how you felt, but I didn't miss the kickoff at all because
Agreed.
It got me to the action.
Yep.
And the thing, the point I've been trying to make for months is you want to see the quarterback on the field playing. You want him in the position as much as possible. So anything that prevents that, in the modern game of football, the quarterback is the central figure of what's going on. You want them to be involved in everything. And so you have this dichotomy of, one, you've got too many plays that require aspects of the game that are not interesting to the fan, which is why we got rid of the kickoff. It's why we got rid of the extra points, why I got rid of the onside kick, because we wanted to get the quarterback back out there in the offense. The second thing is, the more you restrict the ability to interact with the quarterback for the fans, for the players, for the defense, for all these different things, the more you're taking away the drama of the game. So we've focused heavily on safety. If you look at all the rule changes we made, they're all about making the game collectively safer and easier to defend its safety in terms of what we're doing. But at the same time, we did not want to remove football from football. And so that balancing act, I think you saw on display over the weekend.
Charlie Ebersole from the Alliance joins us this morning here on the show. I agree. I didn't miss the kickoffs at all. I thought it's also, I've heard, we lose Devin Hester. There's no Devin Hester in this league. And I thought that's a red herring because we don't have Devin Hester anymore in the NFL. All of these kickoffs end up in the end zone or the back of the end zone anyway. We don't have kickoffs being returned for touchdowns anymore. So I didn't think that hurt you guys really at all. My thing that really put my antenna up this week was I expected mainstream media to poo-poo this league. Oh, another startup league. The football is no good. Blah, blah, blah. This will never last. I thought 90 to 95% of the feedback that I saw and I heard from mainstream media was, this was cool. And it led most national shows on Monday. Were you surprised at how positive it seemed overall the reaction was?
Oh, I was shocked. In fact, I do an all-company address on Fridays in my company, a video address where we talk to everyone because we're now over 1,000 employees. And I said, you know, look, we've got to be professional. We've got to do our job. But we are going to wake up on Monday morning and people are going to gripe. They're going to say, they're empty seats, the ratings are bad, the football, blah, blah. You got to keep your chin up, et cetera. I had to send an email on Sunday night that said, don't gloat. You guys need to be careful because we have to live on both sides. Ultimately, here's the thing about this. You know as well as anybody that the media and the public perception is fickle. My friend who's one of the people, one of the top executives at Twitter, called me and said, we have rarely, if ever, seen this level of positivity. You're 11 of the top 20 trending topics on Twitter, and all 11 are positive. He said, this is bordering on and he said, be careful because this will turn. And I know that's coming. I am conscious enough and have lived through both sides of this to know that popularity is a fickle mistress. But the thing I will say is what I am encouraged by is that the positivity is about the quality of the product. And I have always believed that if you put forward a quality product, nothing else matters. And so our focus will remain quality football. Everything else is just noise right now. Until we have established ourselves as a quality football platform. And I got to tell you, all 32 NFL teams had scouts at our games this weekend. We've been told that they will be at our games again this coming weekend. That type of relationship, that supporting the ecosystem of football is what I keep saying to everybody. That is ultimately the essential goal here. Football, the NFL doesn't need to be replaced. It doesn't need to be adopted or changed or consigned to something that it's not. But what it does need, doesn't just want, what it needs is support to help these tens of thousands of players that don't have places to play to be able to play and refine the game and make the game better. And we believe that we have at least had 1 week of showing that we're capable of being that for people.
Co-founder of the AAF, Charlie Ebersole, our guest here on the show. Hey, man, congratulations on a great week one. We are all in here on the show for week two and beyond, and I appreciate the candor and the conversations that we've been able to have throughout this whole process, man. Thanks.
I really appreciate taking the time. I hope you have a great day.
You too. Charlie Ebersole joining us this morning here on the show. I think the smartest thing they can do is make sure the football's good because we are a country that is always desperate for football, always. And there is space in the spring for people to watch and care about football. It just needs to look good. We know what good football is. We are now a nation where to almost every person, man and woman and child, you know what good football looks like. You know what bad football looks like. If they have decent football as a product every week throughout the spring, it absolutely can work. And I think that's the smartest thing to prioritize. They didn't oversell the product. They're not selling us on stars. They're not selling us on pizzazz. They've got an organized football league with decent football being played. That's a big deal. You know, it's a hamburger joint and the hamburger tastes good. You don't need much else. We're a nation desperate for hamburgers, football hamburgers. When we come back here on the show, we have a gift from one of our listeners that I want to open up and give everybody their gift. And then number two, there is a stink ghost here at CBS Sports Radio, which we have to tackle as well. So it's a big final segment on the show. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
15 seconds. Break ends in 5 seconds.
This year like last year, the best is right here on CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
43 minutes past the hour. Thanks for being with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio every single day. 9 until noon Eastern, 6 until 9 Pacific. across the great CBS Sports Radio Network. Also, listen on Sirius XM Channel 206 and stream us on your phone using the CBS Sports app, radio.com app, and Apple Music. You can also watch us on any device at watchda.com, plus DA On Demand on YouTube, best of video clips, and Facebook, facebook.com/TheDA Show. Today's show has been filled with a lot of great sports stories. The Matt Kuchar story, whether he should have tipped his fill-in caddy more, really took over the show. The Knicks, the one NBA team that didn't go and scout Giannis, nice. Joe Flacco becoming the punching bag, I believe unfairly. Kirk Cousins trying to do a nice thing and going to get blown up in his face by angry Vikings fans. Odell, trade speculation, Steve Kerr trying to motivate his guys because it's all too easy in Golden State. But that also means it's time for the stories that did not make the cut, your cut line.
These stories were left out by the selection committee, cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show, it's the cut line.
Before the show today, we're in our pre-show production meeting, and one of the engineers comes in, starts flickering the lights, starts doing stuff with the electronic board. Backdrop goes up, backdrop goes down. And I'm totally thrown off, and I'm like, I lost my train of thought. And the engineer says, sorry, we're trying to figure out if there's a smell in here. We said, what do you mean? They said, the people that work in the studio, not the CBS Sports Radio studio, our next door studio, which houses WFAN and other stuff, they said the hosts at 4 a.m. Saturday mornings are complaining that their eyes are tearing and they're getting nauseous and physically ill from a smell. The engineer said, you're in here every day doing pre-production stuff. Does it ever smell? We said, no, never smelled anything. They said, we can't figure out what this is, whether it's electrical wiring or something. Mraz says, quote, is Jody Mack sleeping in here on Saturdays? We apparently have. They're looking into the wiring. They've got ladders and everything. We've got a stink ghost. And what are the odds, Mraz? How could it happen that this only takes place during Saturday mornings at 4 a.m.? Something, pardon my pun, doesn't smell right.
How could it?
How could it happen? Look, I'm just saying, I'm not saying. I know there are people that, based on where they live, that come in early or leave late for shifts and maybe working next the next day, and they end up maybe, you know, just crashing, grabbing a wink if they can. And I don't know where they're crashing around here.
Grabbing a wink.
Yeah, a little sleep. A little sleep if they can before maybe their next shift. And I don't know where they're sleeping. I know that possibly it's around here. Maybe it's in a quiet studio that...
You think part-timers are crashing in the studio?
Yeah, and I think... I think it could be a situation where maybe they do it for a couple hours, get out before the overnight show starts in there.
Sleeping on the floor of a studio?
Yeah, or some people might bring an air mattress, maybe.
They're blown up air mattresses and nobody checks it?
Look, they could, and, you know, you get out like a ghost, and next thing you know what? Maybe some salty armpits stunk up the room. You don't know. All I know is this. Why would a mysterious stink happen throughout the studio every week at a certain time? You would smell it a lot more often.
Right.
They keep getting the same complaint.
And interestingly, it's a time of the day where nobody's around. It's 4 a.m. on a Saturday morning, so there's nobody to verify this stink.
Where, who that smell can't just smell that smell. Yeah, look, it's got to come at a time where somebody might be trying to sleep or somebody had just slept. Somebody's out there and it's a ghost stinker, and I'm not going to point any fingers, but I think we can point some fingers.
Is it ghost gas, you think?
Ghost gas? I hadn't thought of that.
Well, by that I mean, is the person sleeping in the studio, in your theory, passing wind?
Oh, I was just going on body odor, perhaps needs a shower. But you know what? I guess that's possible. You need enough Wawa burritos. Anything's possible.
Are we saying that hosts are sleeping on the ground of some studios? Bilotti, have you ever heard of this?
I've heard of people taking taking a little home in some of these studios when they have to take a nap.
Really? Yep. I haven't heard this.
Especially in the winter, snowstorms and stuff.
Have you heard this?
Well, I know people sleep here, and they've been told not to sleep here, but if the smell was coming from somebody sleeping there, wouldn't they just go look at the ground and go, oh, it must be him, and then not have to call engineering and ask what's going on?
Right. Unless the sleeper leaves and leaves behind the scent.
That's a lot of stench. That's like homeless person level. If it's lingering that long that it's not obvious where it's coming from.
Look, we got ghost stink around here, and nobody knows how to fix it. The engineer department, I mean, the heads are just spinning around right now. They don't know how to solve this
thing. It's Jody's pre-ghost haunting the studio.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
I got a gift this week in the mail from a listener. This is from Bob in Lake Charles, Louisiana. D.A., I was listening to the show one day in late January. Bogish was with you, and he was complaining about the price of a container of gum from the store in the ground level of your building. Remember this? This was a Trash Tuesday.
It was.
I couldn't find the old traditional pack of Wrigley's or Big Red, but rather the type of packages they sell now. I think it cost me anywhere from $1 to $1.39 here in Lake Charles, Louisiana. I'd like to give Andrew Bogish this gift. So this is from a listener, Bob, in Lake Charles. He got you Orbit White Gum.
Okay.
Here you go.
Which is what I was trying to buy.
Double Mint Wrigley's.
Amazing.
And a pack of Big Red.
And Big Red. That is the
cool
way to go.
How cool is that? How nice is that?
I'm flabbergasted.
Maybe you can
put
some on your armpits.
Maybe we can rub it in the studio next door and solve the stink problem.
Ghost stink. Also,
so many options.
Bob in Lake Charles says, I would also like to send you some Chick-fil-A meal cards. Perhaps you guys can use them up there or when you're visiting SEC country. Maybe Mraz will come down for Giants and Cowboys in Texas. Hopefully there's enough to go around. I really enjoy listening to the show. Keep up the great work. Bob in Lake Charles.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
How nice is this?
That's really nice. And that is the gift that keeps on giving.
This is so... He gave us a stack of Chick-fil-A gift cards.
That's a great gift. So
make
generous.
Sure Pete gets one of those.
No doubt. I know. If Pete doesn't get one of these, there's going to be hell to pay.
Get him out.
Bad history.
But how great... I mean...
Thanks, Bob.
Can we thank Bob and Lake Charles
Bob,
enough?
That's a great job by you.
Seriously,
thank
Bob.
You.
That is unbelievable. Thank you.
I can't wait to drown in Polynesian sauce.
And you're already chewing the gum.
Popping Big Red over here. Dove right in. That's
very
amazing.
Nice.
That's way too sweet.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate that very much. And thanks to all the listeners that care about us and listen to us. And we're very thankful that you guys enjoy the show. Today, Mraz didn't enjoy the show because he was too busy trashing El Toucan. It's your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
I told you. I thought El Toucan was probably smoking a Chiba, not studying the slopes.
I just don't understand why people can't be nice. Like, what's the problem here?
What? $5,000? Is it nice? You act like you stiffed them.
Yes, it is stiffing.
It's $5,000.
It's the minimum. So why not just give him nothing then?
$5,000 is nothing to you? What was your last contract? $1.5 million now with $5,000? $5,000 is a lot of money.
Miska, Mosca, Mickey Mouse.
Now with $5,000? $5,000 is a lot of money.
What kind of voice is that? What are you, Mickey Mouse suddenly?
Oh, I'm just getting stressed out. That's a lot of money for the guy.
It is the bare minimum. It is literally the bare minimum he could possibly give.
You know what bare minimum would have been? A couple junior bacons from Wendy's and say, have a nice day, toucan.
That is Mark Chernoff coming in and saying, nice job, Mraz. You guys were number one in the ratings. Here's your bonus. Here's a $5 bill. It is literally the bottom of the bonus. You couldn't give the guy less. $5,000 is the least you could possibly give.
No, $4,999 other dollars are less increments. That's a lot of money, $5,000.
Every dollar less than $5,000 is more of an embarrassment. He's supposed to get $120. He got $5. Imagine your Christmas bonus was supposed to be $120,000 and they gave you $5,000. You wouldn't go, oh man, $5,000's a lot of money. Beep, 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 beep. I sound like Mickey Mouse. Give me a few bacon double cheeseburgers. No.
Miska, Muska, Mickey Mouse.
You'd say it's only $5,000.
Daddy's always happy.
Let's throw him another 15. You wouldn't still be barking the whole time? I mean, come
on, Bungish. I'd be throwing dollar bills all around at the bar if I got another 15.
If you were supposed to get $120,000 bonus, you would not be doing any type of dancing.
I'd get one of those money guns and be spraying it all over a bar in Babylon Village if I got an extra $15,000.
Sure you would.
Is he done? I had to take my headphones off for that squealing.
Is
that
over? Screeching.
What was that?
Mickey Mouse.
Oh, I almost forgot.
He's gone from sounding like Fat Arnold or whatever that one day to now Mickey.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
This is real. This is getting real grimy around here because off the air, now there's fighting about who's bought what for who. If I've stiffed everybody on the holiday dinner that had to be rescheduled because of Pete's wedding and then the holiday party.
Because I was drunk that.
Mraz is throwing this back in my face. This whole show really went off the rails.
It did. You see what happened here? There's no reason we should be fighting. You bought more than enough. I'm just saying, you know, we never had a holiday dinner. So for you to take the side of toucan.
You really are just a bad, bad dude.
Every meal I've ever eaten with Mraz, I've picked up the tab. Every beer I've ever drank with Mraz, I've picked up the tab.
Couldn't
everything
be more right.
On every trip we've ever taken, I've picked up the tab. And Mraz in the middle of this goes, yeah, what about the Christmas dinner you stiffed us on?
So exactly, now you're El Toucan.
DA is right, though.
Incredible. All right, that will do it for us this morning here on the show. And I like how Mraz just called him Toucan. Hey, take this, Toucan.
How could it happen?
Take your Junior Bacon, Toucan, and take a hike. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. And thanks to Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com. We're back at it tomorrow. Be there. It's going to be a Target Demo Friday. Be good and be good to one another. The Mothership disconnects.
$5,000 is a lot of money!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.